What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the DFS OGs podcast presented by our friends over at FanDuel. I am your host, Beer, as always, joined by my boys, Notorious and Head Chopper, breaking down the week 11 slate. Guys, how we doing? Noto, let's start with you. Basketball, golf, football. This guy does it all, Chop. So we appreciate him taking some time here to join us. Noto, how we doing, brother?
Yeah, doing well, and finally had a good week of DFS, so definitely feeling a little bit better than the last few weeks. All thanks to Ramondre Stevenson and the other cheap running backs. I ended up playing a lot of Mark Ingram and D'Ernest Johnson, but I decided to roll out the three cheap running back lineup with Stevenson. That really helped me. The rest of my lineups didn't really do much, but that was really all I needed. And then, yeah, finally quit Jacoby Myers. Scores a touchdown. I mean, come on.
Called it, though. You said last week, I'm hopping off, so he's probably going to score. And I said, Chop, let's hop on board. So I did have a little bit of Jacoby Myers. He didn't break the slate or anything, but finally that monkey off his back. But those cheap running backs were certainly the key to victory last week. So glad you were on that. I had them three kind of mixed and matched. I didn't put them all in one lineup together, but that was the key to victory last week. And we're going to have some more cheap running backs to talk about here in week 11. But let me bring in Chop. Chop, how we doing, my man? Was your week 10 as good as Derek's over here?
Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like he won some money. I broke even. And I broke even basically because of the cheap running backs doing well in garbage time. I didn't have them. So I was on Ramondre and some other guys lesser owned. And I was doing really well. And then the fourth quarters rolled around of those games and Ingram's getting some piling up points and D'Ernest is getting straight garbage time, and all of a sudden everybody's catching up to me. So I ended up breaking even, but, you know, for a while there, was doing all right.
We got Josh Duck already in the chat hanging out. So, Josh, what's up, my man? Said he didn't worry about ownership this weekend, and he won some of his money back. So I'd love to hear that. So those running backs were high-owned, but that's the one position you worry about the least is that running back. So good to hear, Josh. If you guys are out in the chat, you want to sound off on anything, please feel free. We'll try to keep up with your questions there as we go along. We also want to tell you again about our DFS OGs contest over at FanDuel. So FanDuel.com/OG. That's where you go to find all the information. You're not going to find this sitting in the lobby. I've had a lot of messages. How do I find this thing? FanDuel.com/OG. Everything you need right there. You enter your lineup right there. Just say $7 buy-in here. And it's a single entry tournament. There's only 500 spots available in this thing. So let's fill this baby up. Go right now while you're listening. Take a second. FanDuel.com/OG. You go down. All you got to do is reserve your spot. Don't even have to fill in a lineup. You can come back and do that after you hear all the analysis or anytime all the way up until Sunday. There's also the season-long leaderboard there, which we love this aspect of this tournament. Makes it very unique in DFS, kind of combining the best of DFS with a single entry, low-dollar buy-in, plus a chance to win some season-long prizes. So $10,000 in additional prizes added into this prize pool, $5,000 to the winner at the end, and only your top 10 scores will count in this thing. So if you played each and every week, great. Continue to plug away. If you're new, you haven't played yet, hey, jump in. It's still not too late to take down some prizes. Not to mention, there still are prizes each and every week, like a normal tournament on FanDuel. So a lot of benefits to playing in this thing. Plus, you get to play against the three of us, a lot of other Roto Grinders personalities in this tournament. Everyone's favorite Dean, DB730s in this thing. We've seen JMB Wing Fan playing. So a lot of big names playing in this thing. And again, only your top 10 scores count. So come and join us over at FanDuel.com/OG. We will highlight some of the top finishers from last week's tournament here later on in the show. We'll also take a look at that season-long leaderboard as things are getting tight. We're closing in on Thanksgiving. So we'll highlight all the big performers in that tournament. But go and secure your entry today and come play against us. So, guys, we'll save the Thanksgiving talk for next week. We'll record a day before Thanksgiving next week, I believe. So we'll get all the hot takes on the latest food, things like that, our Thanksgiving plans. This week, I want to jump right into things here. We got a lot of games to cover on this slate here this week. So let's get started with Buffalo and Indianapolis. We have Buffalo -7.5 here at home, total at 50.5. All of these spreads and totals coming to you courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook. Make sure you check them out on the Sportsbook as well. It's not just DFS. Sportsbook, Casino, lots of great offerings there over at FanDuel. So, Derek, I want to start with you. Buffalo got things rolling last week, got things on track, we'll say, against the Jets, put up some big numbers. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, the big stories there, putting up huge performances. The Colts kind of struggle a little bit. Your Jaguars were in that game, had a chance all the way down to the last second. So what do you got in this game here? Jonathan Taylor been a man on a mission. This is a tough mission, though, going against this Buffalo defense. So do you trust him here in this spot? Do we go back to Allen and Diggs? And then what do we do with Buffalo's running backs? Easy to kind of just dismiss that now with Matt Breida in the mix as well. So lots of possible options here, Derek. What are you seeing? Buffalo in Indianapolis.
Yeah, a lot of interesting plays in this one for sure. I faded Jonathan Taylor, man. I was pretty scared in that first half. He had over 20 fantasy points. I think he finished with like 27. So the cheap running backs ended up being better on a point per dollar basis. But you mentioned it. He's been incredible. This is a really tough spot, you know, pretty sizable underdogs on the road. Buffalo is third in DVOA against the run. So I think the volume will be there, but I'm not sure if I can pay this price for him. I have a little bit more interest in the passing game, but Pittman might get the Tre'Davious White coverage. So, yeah, I don't know what to do on the Colts side. Wentz isn't a quarterback that I love to play. He's always cheap, and he always rates out well on the point-per-dollar basis, but doesn't really have a lot of rushing upside. So, don't have a ton of interest in Indy. And then we know what to do with Buffalo. I mean, Allen's one of the better quarterback options of the slate. Diggs finally went over 100 yards and caught a touchdown last week. So, don't mind going right back to that. We know Indy, they like to keep everything in front of them. So I think this could be a really good spot for Diggs, maybe even for Cole Beasley as well. And then for my bet, I'm going to go with Buffalo. I think they take care of business at home.
I also like Buffalo here. I just, the Colts don't match up very well with this defense. You mentioned some of the matchups with Pittman, Taylor against this rushing D. I could see them just kind of stacking the box, making Carson Wentz and company beat them through the air. I just think the Colts are a little bit overrated here. So it's a big number, but I like Buffalo here to roll. And the passing game should find success. The Colts have struggled against quarterbacks and wide receivers here. So 2 for 2 on the Bills. Chop, what do you got in this one, Buffalo and Indianapolis?
Yeah, I the DFS aspect of it is I'm similar to Derek. It's a bigger total, but it's kind of like, it's a little bit ugly there. I don't know if I want to play the Colts guys on the road in that environment against a pretty good defense. And then on the flip side, Allen's always in play. I think Diggs is in play. And you could sprinkle in some of those other wide receivers. I certainly wouldn't touch the running back. So it's a nice total, but nothing really jumps off to me DFS-wise. But as far as the pick, I cannot put this one on the parlay card. I cannot, because I'm actually – kind of thinking the opposite of you guys. I'm looking at Indy and what their games this year, like even the ones they've lost, most of them have been really highly competitive and they've come down to the end. So I think they're a pretty decent team that's getting better and better every week. And Buffalo's certainly not invincible. They've shown that. So I think they can hang within this spread here. So I'm going to take Indy with the points.
All right, let's go to our next game. Another big spread here, Houston and Tennessee. We have the Titans minus 10 at home, 44.5 on the total. So, Chop, we'll stay with you here. Houston, you know the story with Houston. It's, do you want to play Brandon Cooks or not? So that's the first question. Tennessee side, sounds like we may get some more Deontay Foreman here. Added last week, saw some work right away. So is he the guy? Is Peterson the guy? Is it a stay away? I like A.J. Brown as kind of a bounce back here this week. Really struggled last week. Marcus Johnson ended up having the big game. So he's still cheap across the industry. So Chop, mostly Tennessee here, clearly. Do you trust Brandon Cooks? And where on the Titans do you want to go in this one?
For Houston, the only guy I trust is Brandon Cooks. And I think he can get there like he did. The first part of the year is all garbage time. So, he's fine. He's got a lot of outs in this game. So Brandon Cooks is fine. That's the only guy I like over there on the Tennessee side. Yeah, man. I don't think I'm going to chase Deontay Foreman, even though he looks like he's kind of taking control of the backfield. It doesn't mean very much. He just doesn't seem to have a lot of juice in those legs. So I'm kind of out on his backfield. I think Tannehill's a fine play. I think A.J. Brown's a fine play. hit up one of those other receivers for a value if you really need it. We'll get into some other games and see if we can find some better value than that. But Marcus Johnson's fine at that price tag. As far as this game and the spread in total, yeah, I'm going to stick with the thing I've been doing all year, which is fading Houston because I think they're terrible. So give me Tennessee with the points here.
I like Tennessee as well here in this one. The last couple road games for Houston, 9 points, 5 points, 3 points, 0 points. So I think I bet over on all of those thinking, Houston will score some points here and it'll cruise by the total. They've just been struggling. And I know Tyrod will help that. But Tennessee, even without Derrick Henry, I think they control this game. The defense been playing a little bit better. I agree. I'm going to go with the Titans here, laying the points. So, Derek, does this one get added to the parlay? I haven't been many parlays here over the last few weeks. Are we taking a step in that direction here with this one?
This is getting added to the parlay card for all the reasons you guys mentioned. Don't trust Houston on the road. Tennessee, even without, Derrick Henry, they've been playing well. So I like them to cover the 10. DFS-wise, like you guys mentioned, I'm not trusting this backfield just yet. Deontay Foreman might be the guy moving forward, but last week we still saw, a pretty even timeshare between the three of them. So I'll take a wait-and-see approach for now. It's a spot where I think A.J. Brown could get there in the first half. So I'm not letting the big line scare me off of him. I like the price point. Love the upside. Love the matchup. And then the other side, you guys mentioned Cooks. I mean, I'm always fine with Cooks, but, just never feels great clicking his name. I don't know why. He ends up getting a lot of garbage time production, and that's certainly – possible in this one, but I just don't really love the game as a whole. I'll probably just play a lot of Tennessee defense.
All right, next game we got New Orleans and Philadelphia. This one's kind of swung here. Started out New Orleans as a favorite. Now we're sitting Philadelphia -1.5 total, pretty low here at 43.5. So, Derek, we'll stay with you. Obviously, we're waiting on the status of Alvin Kamara. Mark Ingram was pretty good last week in his stead, but Kamara, obviously, a big boom. To that offense, Philadelphia, it sounds like there's a chance Miles Sanders could be back this week. I think it's an outside chance, but they did activate him in that 21-day window now opens, and they are saying it's a possibility. So that just becomes even more of a mess here. So anything in this game, low total, kind of ugly. Do we trust Jalen Hurts here against a tough defense? Devonta Smith is going to match up with Lattimore. Goddard questionable as well. So a lot of questions here, Derek. Any answers with New Orleans and Philadelphia?
This is probably one of my least favorite games from a DFS standpoint. Jalen Hurts had those two down weeks and bounced back with a big week last week. But tough matchup against the Saints. They're good against the pass. They're good against the run. They can get pressure on the quarterback and don't really want to pair him up with his receivers. You mentioned Devonta Smith being locked up against Lattimore. Don't love that. Goddard's banged up a little bit. So pretty much a full fade for me on the Eagles, even if Sanders ends up being out. We saw Howard, Scott, and Gainwell all play over 30% of the snaps last week. And then the Saints side, yeah, it's just going to be the running back. If it's Kamara, I'll have a little bit of interest there. If it's Ingram, I'll definitely play him again at that price point. But you just can't trust this passing game right now. And for my pick, it feels gross, but it just seems too low. I'm going to take the over, and even though I want to take the under, it feels too low.
Top, let's go to you. I'm with Derek. There's not much I like in this game. I think if Kamara plays, he's in play. I'm intrigued by Hurts, but I think there's a lot of other options at the quarterback position where you don't have to go that route. Who do you pair him with? The Philadelphia running game is pretty much a no for me now with too many miles there. So anything here? Any more optimism? Or are we all kind of on the same page? This one's just kind of ugly this week.
Nah, this one's kind of ugly. I'll say – so New Orleans, I have no interest in them. It'll be interesting if Kamara comes back, then he'll stay in my player pool. But I'm not like going out of my way to roster him. If he's not there, then I don't have any interest in anybody. For the Philly side, I do have interest in Devonta Smith as just a one-off. I don't want any of the other guys, but Devonta is interesting just because I don't believe in the wide receiver cornerback coverage chart anymore. I don't go by that anymore. And so I'm not worried about the matchup with Lattimore. And even if I was, even if you told me Lattimore was going to try to shadow Devonta one-on-one all game, I would totally be on Devonta because I just don't think that's a good matchup at all for Lattimore. This guy's fast. He gets separation on literally everybody that I've seen so far in college and the NFL. Just got to throw him the ball. So, and I think they'll be throwing a little bit more this week. So I kind of like Devontae, but as far as a bet, the game's pretty ugly, so I'm taking the under.
All right, I'm going to go with Philadelphia here. I don't feel strongly about any of the totals, the lines. I like that it's moved in their direction. The defense has been playing a little bit better, and I still worry about Trevor Siemian, guys. You wait for the wheels to fall off, and this could be the week. So obviously will help if Kamara is back in that lineup, but I like the way Philadelphia is playing right now. So at home, I'll take them minus the 1.5. All right, next game, another ugly one. Miami and the Jets. Miami minus 3.5 here on the road. 45 on the total here, Chop. So let's stay with you. Miami, a great win last week against Baltimore. I mean, big underdogs, and they pull it out. It was ugly. Jets get throttled by Buffalo. So, Chop, my question here, can we trust Myles Gaskin? I mean, we can talk to in the passing game, and there's some injuries still to be determined. Devontae Parker, I don't think Will Fuller is going to be back. But Myles Gaskin, Chop, is averaging about 1 yard per carry here over the last two games. Now, getting a ton of work in this matchup, ideal. The Jets have been horrific against running backs this season. 17 rushing touchdowns already allowed. All three of Buffalo's running backs scored touchdowns last week. Can we trust Myles Gaskin in this spot?
Yo, I don't think you can trust him. He's a fine GPP option. There's going to always be about 20 running backs that you feel like are decent enough GPP options every week. So, but I don't trust him, though, not at all, just because of the bad offensive line. You just don't know how it's going to play out. So, I don't know. It's another ugly game for me. Tua's really hot and cold, and sometimes he looks good out there, and you think he can be a franchise quarterback, and sometimes he's just terrible. So, don't trust him. Waddle looks really good, but I did read something like the on Twitter the other day how basically the Dolphins gave away what looks like a top five pick, maybe a top five pick, in order to move up to draft Waddle instead of wait on Devontae. You know, like, just, that's just not good GMing right there, man. Just I don't know. I don't know how it's going to end up. Maybe they don't. Maybe they go on a run, though, and that's not a top five pick. I don't know. But Waddle's okay. He looks okay, but certainly not as good as Devontae. But I don't have a lot of interest in the – we just heard today Joe Flacco is going to be starting for the Jets. Yep. Come on, man. Give me a break. Like, so now I don't have to worry about taking any Jets wide receivers here. And what it does is I was just getting used to the fact that we could roster some Jets running backs because they were getting some outrageous number of checkdowns with Mike White as their quarterback. Derek probably knows the number, but I heard it last week, but they're getting some 30% target share from Mike White. Well, that takes it off the board because I can assume Joe Flacco is not going to be the checkdown master that Mike White was. So kind of eliminates everybody for me on the Jets side having Flacco in there. So I don't like this game for DFS at all. As far as looking at that spread right there, boy, they really had to throw. What's this, is that 3.5?
Yeah, they threw the hook in on you.
And they messed us up, man. Yep. They really did. But I tell you what, though, Joe Flacco, that's a bad quarterback. I'm tempted. I'm going to have to ride the Miami wave here.
All right, I'm going to go under on this one. You know, we mentioned Flacco. I want to like Corey Davis. I want to like Elijah Moore, but it's really tough with Flacco. You mentioned the running backs, Chop. Now we have Tevin Coleman in the mix as well. So any hope you had for Michael Carter is kind of out the window. And in Miami, I don't disagree. You know, Waddle and Gesicki, I think, are the guys, especially if Parker is out. But Gaskin, Derek, same question for you. I want to trust him. Where do you come out on this Myles Gaskin thing and the rest of this game, Miami and the Jets?
Yeah, Gaskin's a tough one. We obviously like the price point. We obviously like the snap share. But, I mean, man, this offensive line has been so bad. Against the Texans, he had 20 carries for 34 yards. Baltimore, 14 carries for 31 yards. Buffalo, 12 for 36. I mean, this guy's averaging 2.5 yards per carry the last three games. So, I get it. The matchup's great. The workload should be there. He's fine in tournaments, but not a guy I would certainly trust in cash games. I agree with you guys. I like Waddle. I like Gesicki. Matchup's really good for both of them. And then I have a little bit more faith in old man Flacco. I just think he's going to be decent enough for this team. And good news for the receivers, like you mentioned, Mike White was just dumping it off each and every play. So I think that brings Corey Davis into play, Elijah Moore in tournaments as well. And yeah, I'll take the home underdog with that hook.
All right, let's go to the next one. This one, interesting, Derek. We have Washington, Carolina. The big story here, that sounds like Cam Newton taking first team snaps. So looks like he will be once again the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, and his old coach coming to town, Ron Rivera, and the Washington football team. So what does Cam's insertion in the lineup do here? Does this help DJ Moore? Because he's pretty cheap across the industry, some very low prices. We saw Robbie Anderson score a touchdown. Does this help or hurt Christian McCaffrey, who did get a lot of targets in that game, but a lot of them came from PJ Walker? So how is Cam Newton help or hurt this lineup? And then the Washington side dealing with a lot of injuries. McLaurin Gibson, once again, questionable here. So I think they'll be fine to play, but this Carolina defense pretty stout against both of those positions. So I'm going to lock my pick in here. I like Carolina. I think they're underrated. I think Cam will help. If anything, it's more energy to this offense. But I think Carolina rolls at home here. So DFS-wise, I do like some cheap shots on Moore, on Robbie, and CMC, obviously, a no-brainer each and every week. Although, price back to 10,000 here on FanDuel, Derek.
Yeah, as far as Cam Newton's concerned, I think he's good news for the team's, you know, ability to win football games, and I think he's bad news for the receivers. We just haven't seen him throw the ball downfield much the last couple seasons. So I'm downgrading Moore and Anderson a little bit. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to get his work regardless. I mean, he had a ton of touches last week. He ended up playing 59% of the snaps, but basically sat out the whole fourth quarter. So I think he's going to be back to playing, you know, 80%+ of the snaps. He looked great last week. Obviously a pretty good matchup here. So yeah, I like McCaffrey quite a bit. He would be the one guy I'd play on that side of the ball. And then you can bring it back with McLaurin. You can bring it back with Ricky Seals-Jones, assuming Logan Thomas is out again. Probably won't be looking to the running backs just because, you know, whenever Washington's an underdog, you always have the threat that McKissick's going to come in and play all the passing work. So not a lot of interest on Washington outside of the wideouts. And yeah, I agree with you, Beard. I like Carolina at home. I think this team's going to go on a little bit of a run here.
All right, we also have Ricky Seals-Jones looking questionable here, Chop. Curtis Samuel's return to Carolina. So a lot of narratives in this game, but all in all, a pretty lackluster DFS game here, Chop. So same questions. Optimistic about Cam, pessimistic. What does it do to the receivers? Anything else here you got, Washington and Carolina?
Oh, I'm extremely pessimistic about Cam starting for Carolina. Just for Washington, first off, yeah, McLaurin probably in play and Gibson. Other than that, I'm not interested in that. For Carolina, Derek said it, this sucks the value out of the wide receivers. And I was ready to, you know, ready for DJ Moore to break out again. He was really good early in the season. He's been kind of off here lately with the quarterback carousel. And that's going to continue to be off as far as I'm concerned, unless he can catch a short one and take it to the house, and then that'll just make us look foolish. But that's just kind of like variance right there. But these receivers are in bad shape now with Cam. I don't think he can get the ball to him nearly as well as an NFL quarterback should be able to. So this is also bad news for Christian McCaffrey, because it took about one possession last week to see how it sucks some of the value out of McCaffrey. Yeah, he's going to get a lot of snaps, going to get a lot of targets. He's going to run for some yards and catch for some yards, just like last week. But first possession of the game, they get down there at the one-yard line. Cam comes in the game, takes his touchdown from him. Next possession, McCaffrey catches the ball, gets pushed out at the one-yard line. What happens? Next play, Cam gets the touchdown, not McCaffrey. This is not good for McCaffrey's overall like ceiling right here, to have Cam suck those touchdowns out of him. So I don't like it. Don't like it at all. Wish it wasn't happening. But with that being said, we got to deal with it. As far as the spread here, yeah, I don't think I want to give that extra hook to Washington. I think they came off that bye week and they're looking a little better, even though they did lose Chase Young. That's a big one. But with Cam at quarterback, I'm taking the under here.
All right, under 43 for Chop, Carolina for me and Derek. Next game, San Francisco and Jacksonville. Derek, we'll get to you and your Jags here in a minute. Chop will stay with you. San Francisco looked great the other night against the Rams. But Elijah Mitchell dealing with a finger injury here. So we could see a big helping of Jeff Wilson Jr., who looked great, looked explosive on the touches that he got. But Debo Samuel, another massive game. Now he's dealing with a little bit of a shin injury. Sounds like a day-to-day thing. He should be fine. Kittle looked great in that game. So a lot of ways you could go with the Niners here. Jacksonville was competitive in that game against Indianapolis, but Chop, it continues to be Dan Arnold, Jamal Agnew. It's never the LaVisca Chenault, Marvin Jones, Trevor Lawrence show. James Robinson always seems to get there, but the ceiling pretty low. So how do you see this one playing out? Do the Niners roll? Do the Jags stay competitive here? And who are you liking in DFS this week out of this game?
Yeah, I got to the San Francisco side's really interesting there. Whoever starts at running back, I think, makes for a fantastic running back. They're both underpriced for whoever the starters are going to be. Well, I think Elijah Mitchell will be okay. It's just a procedure. They sound like he was actually might be back at practice here within a day or two. So if he's in there at 5,800 against Jacksonville, fire him up. Jeff Wilson, if he's the guy, if Mitchell has a sit, Jeff Wilson looks great coming back. And he's going to get the most carries, I think. And he's going to get goal line work. So fire up Jeff Wilson for even cheaper. If Debo looks to be limited, injured a little bit, let's fire up Ayuk. If not, Debo's been a best ball winner this year so far. Yeah. He's been incredible, man. So, and then Kittle looks like he's back. So this offense, I think, is going to roll. Just, you know, pick your poison. Jacksonville, obviously not a good team. They look terrible. Dan Arnold could get there in garbage time. So he remains in the player pool. Otherwise, it's an ugly team. And for those reasons, I gotta think San Francisco's about to go on a little bit of a run here and get back in the playoff picture. So give me Frisco.
I'm with you on San Francisco's the way to go in DFS. But Derek, I think Jacksonville stays competitive in this game. So tell me if I'm crazy or not. But they've stayed in a lot of games this year, and maybe they don't have the players to actually pull it off. This also feels like it could be a letdown spot for San Francisco. I mean, coming off that big win against the Rams, have a bunch of big games coming up against Minnesota, Seattle. It just feels like a spot traveling across the country, early game. I think it could be kind of ugly. I don't disagree with Chop. I like the San Francisco running back. Whoever that is the main guy I'm going to be on here. Debo's getting expensive. I like Kittle, but I'm going with Jacksonville in the points. Feels like they're trying to suck you in with that 6.5. Why isn't it 7? So I'm gonna back your Jags here, Derek. So am I crazy or not here to actually put U.S. dollars on the Jacksonville Jaguars +6.5?
I certainly understand the pick for the purpose of this show, but I would not put any U.S. dollars on the Jaguars. As far as my pick, I don't feel great about either side. You guys both made good points. San Fran, their offense should absolutely roll in this one. I like the running back. I like Debo. I like Kittle. So I think they're going to put up a lot of points. And then, Beer, you made a good point. You know, San Fran, bad loss against the Cardinals, and then they bounce back with a huge win against the Rams, now go across the country to face a team that has been competitive. So I get it. I'm just going to take the over. And, yeah, Dan Arnold's really the only guy you can look to on the Jags right now, although it does feel like a James Robinson week's going to pop up one of these weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he's been solid. It just the ceiling has not been there, but still getting a ton of work there. So we'll lock in the over for Derek. All right, next game we got Detroit and Cleveland. This spread up to 11.5 in favor of Cleveland. News that Tim Boyle took first-team snaps for the Lions today. So we may see a quarterback change, and I don't know how much worse it can be than what Jared Goff has given. So the point is Detroit really wants to run the ball. We saw them really go to a run-heavy approach here. The head coach taking over the play-calling duties there with Detroit. So Dan Campbell running the show. We saw DeAndre Swift with 33 carries. We saw touchdowns for Jefferson. And the dude, I'm not going to try to murder his name, but the point is they want to run the ball here. Cleveland, Kareem Hunt will not return this week. Was just announced before our show that he is out this week, but trending towards a return. We'll see if they get Nick Chubb back, Jarvis Landry dealing with some injuries. So, Derek, we'll stay with you here. I think this is another situation. Whoever the Cleveland running back is in a great spot here. And do we trust DeAndre Swift on the other side against this Cleveland defense? Outside of that, it's tough to trust anything you like in the passing game for either of these two teams.
Yeah, regardless of who starts at quarterback for the Lions, give me the starting running back for the Browns and give me the Browns defense. I think that's one of the better correlation plays of the week. Obviously, prefer it be D'Ernest Johnson since he's a little bit cheaper, but he will be a lot higher owned too if he ends up being the starter. I do think it's a really good spot for Chubb. And, yeah, I think this defensive line is just going to get after the quarterback, especially if they can build a big lead. As for Swift, I mean, the touches are encouraging, but a lot of his value early in the season was based off dump-offs from Jared Goff. So if it's not Goff under center, I just don't know. I want to take a wait-and-see approach. I generally try to avoid running backs as, you know, 11.5-point underdogs on the road. So for me, it's all Cleveland, and I want no part of their passing game. I just haven't seen enough from Baker and company. So give me Cleveland to cover the big spread, and give me some Chubb and Browns defense for DFS.
All right, quick question, Derek. If Chubb is playing, do you still trust D'Ernest Johnson? Is there enough there to put him in a DFS lineup, or is that ceiling too capped with Chubb there?
For me, running back's always so deep that I want my guys to be – you know, 60%+ of the snaps, and I just don't think he's going to get there. So I wouldn't go there myself, but if you're building 150, I guess you could include him in a couple.
All right, Chop, over to you. Running backs seem to be the story here. So anything in the passing game, do you trust that if it's Tim Boyle here, do you trust DeAndre Swift in that volume? And then same question, if Chubb is back, is D'Ernest Johnson still enough of a play? Is there still enough meat on that bone?
Well, if Kareem Hunt was active here in this game and we weren't worried about injuries and he was 5,600, I think he would actually be kind of a popular play almost at 5,600. I don't think his price was anywhere that low. And so D'Ernest Johnson's kind of like Kareem Hunt light almost. Not quite as talented, but he's going to get just as many snaps and touches, I believe. Because you got Chubb coming off an injury. I don't think they'll give him like 100% work. They weren't even doing that like the game prior to him getting hurt when Kareem Hunt has been out. He's still been splitting snaps back there. So, yeah, I think D'Ernest is still in play, even if Chubb is back. But with that being said, obviously, Chubb comes back. Chubb looks really, really awesome in this spot right here. Swift will be fine. He'll get some carries. He'll get a bunch of checkdowns again. They really don't have – like the receivers are terrible. He has no choice but to dump down to Swift. So maybe Hockenson finally rights the ship. I don't know. I don't trust it, but it could happen. Just the one guy that nobody mentioned that off the radar total 150 GPP dart is Jarvis Landry, only because, you know, there's a little narrative going on there. And I heard him, it might be a little squeaky wheel narrative, basically. I heard an interview where he's kind of like wondering why he wasn't getting the ball as much. That's all I can do is give the narrative, man. I'm not saying it's going to work or not, but it's there, so float that one around. What do we got here? 11.5 point
spread. You got 11.5 and 43.5 on the total.
This is ugly, man. This is a tough one, but I'm not gonna lie. Last week was Detroit did me good. I had Detroit, and you two guys had Pittsburgh, so I was able to gain a little double whammy there on you, man. So I appreciate that one. I don't know if I can go to them again, though. This is a tough one. So you know. Looking at this, I'm going to take the under here. If Cleveland gets rolling, it's going to be on the ground and eat up the clock. I'll take the under.
And me and Derek are blaming Ben Roethlisberger for that one. I mean, we make our pick on Pittsburgh. Ben decides to get COVID, and the rest is history. So a little asterisk by that one. But I'm going to go with the Lions here and the points. They've been competitive in a lot of games. I mean, Pittsburgh, sure, it's Mason Rudolph and – they should. Nobody wanted to win that game. I mean, it was ugly. Fumbles left and right and missed field goals. But they were competitive there. They go to play the Rams. They're competitive in that game. They should have beat Baltimore. They're competitive in a game against Chicago on the road. There's just a lot of games that they're close and hang out and hang in. And even if it is Tim Boyle, I don't think it's a big drop-off from what Jared Goff brings to the table. So I think they hang in this game. It's too many points for me. So I'm taking the two worst teams here in Detroit and Jacksonville, but I'm going to back another underdog here and go with Detroit plus 11.5. All right, next game we got Green Bay and Minnesota. Chop will stay with you here, minus 2.5 for the Packers, big total at 49.5. So Green Bay, impressive last week, shutting out Seattle, now travel to Minnesota. So a divisional game here. These two teams always play a tough game, and A.J. Dillon, Obviously, the story here, we will not see Aaron Jones this week. He'll be out a few weeks. So, Chop, how much of a – is A.J. Dillon a must-play? Well, you know, I hate throwing that term around here, but I don't think anyone's ever a must-play, but we'll use the term anyway. Cash games, tournaments, a good matchup here with Minnesota. And then what are we doing on the other side? We saw a big game from Justin Jefferson once again. Dalvin Cook has yet to have that massive game. So very intriguing game here, Chop, but A.J. Dillon. Cash games, tournaments, do we just load up on them this week?
I don't think you completely load up on him because the prices aren't like Mark Ingram level or D'Ernest Johnson level last week. These are still fairly competitive. 7K, 6.2 is not like total punts. So, and Minnesota's at home, and typically they've been a better defense at home over the years under Zimmer than they have on the road, and they can cause a few problems. So I don't think you're like loading up on him, but he looks like he could be pretty good though. He's got some real upside there from all the way back in his days in college when he was really good. So we'll see, man, you know, how that plays out. But I don't think you lock button him in or anything like that, but I like him. He's pretty good. But you got Aaron Rodgers there, you got Devontae Adams, and they're going against Minnesota in a domed environment. Those guys are going to be probably a little bit under-owned, I think. Devontae hasn't really – we'll pull up his game log real quick, but he hadn't really had one of those monster games in a while where he gets targeted at the goal line 2-3 times and gets in. This could be the game, man, because Aaron Rodgers is a little bit healthier now, and they eat up Minnesota. So I like the Rodgers to Devontae stack. I don't ever mess with any of those other Lazards or Cobbs or anybody like that. I stick with those guys. So you got a big three right there. I like Rodgers and Adams a little more than Dillon, but Dillon's fine. Minnesota, I think, even though Green Bay's defense playing good, I think you can run it back with any of the big names, you know, Cousins, Cook, Jefferson, Thielen. I will very much pass on the Tyler Conklin big game. He got it out of his system. Didn't hurt me too much, but I don't expect another 2-touchdown game out of him for a while. So I'll stick with the usual suspects here, but this game, man, 2.5-point game. Interesting. This is interesting. But I got to hear what Beer's pick is since this is his squad. Before I make my pick, I need to hear what Beer says.
All right, I'll jump in there. I'll throw mine in first. But first, you know, Dillon, yes, a great play, but I agree completely, Chop. I think it could lower some of the ownership on Adams. And not that he's not going to have any ownership, but he has been a monster against this Minnesota team. Two games last season, we're talking 21 catches on 28 targets. 5 touchdowns in 2 games against Minnesota. So they have struggled against receivers. If Dillon's going to get all the love this week, I don't mind pivoting over to Devontae Adams, Minnesota side. Like I said, a lot of ways you could go. Feels like a good mini stack game. Adams with Cook on the other side or Jefferson paired with Dillon. But I'm going to go under on this game. The Green Bay defense has been playing well. Minnesota wants to run the ball. Green Bay, if they can, they want to run the ball as well. So the clock could be rolling here. But that Green Bay defense, even missing some high-end pieces, playing extremely well right now. So divisional game, this total just feels too high to me. So I'm going to go under on that 49.5. But Derek, love me some Devontae Adams in this spot this week.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree on both accounts. I like the over in this game, and I also love A.J. Dillon. Minnesota, one of the worst run defenses in the league. I think they're 28th in DVOA against the run. I mean, Dillon's one of those guys that one of the better after-contact guys, and he's getting a full workload. So I love Dillon. I still think you can play Devontae Adams, and I'll call it now. I think that Dillon, Adams, and then bring it back with Cook or Jefferson is going to take down some tournaments this week. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. Cook back to 82% of the snaps last week. So you can certainly go that route. But two concentrated offenses. I don't trust the defenses in the spot. So I think it's a great game to stack. And, yeah, I'll take the over.
All right, Chop. All the cards are on the table here. We got an over. We got an under. Where are you going here?
I'm just going to – you both made good points on your total bets. So – I'm going to abstain from that one, and I'm going to take it feels like kind of low-hanging fruit to probably bite me on this one, but, like, is Green Bay really going to lose to Minnesota? I don't think so. So, and then we're getting it less than a field goal, so then I'm going to have to catch it'd be really rough break not to cover the spread if they do win, so give me Green Bay.
All right, Green Bay, I'm falling behind on the chat, so I see you guys. Randy Owens checking in, says, what's up, OGs? I'm back and still poor, so – Randy, welcome to the club here. So We had Smokey the cat, a double cat here. Had a quick question, so I'll throw this to you guys here. Wants to know if flex Elijah Moore, Rashad Bateman, or Deontay Foreman. Chop, any quick thoughts on that one?
Flex Elijah, Bateman, or that's kind of ugly, but maybe let's go just by process of elimination, Elijah Moore, because the other two guys I just really don't like very much.
All right, I'm going to go Bateman. I do have some more optimism for that Baltimore passing game. And again, pretty thin tree there with just Hollywood and Andrews. So I want to like Foreman, but tough to trust him too much. Maybe this is a spot, though, at home against Houston. So, Derek, quick thoughts on that. Elijah Moore, Bateman, or Deontay Foreman in a flex?
Yeah, so I'll give him the third option and then really confuse him. I'll go with Foreman here. I just think they're going to be running the ball a ton. Huge favorites at home against Houston, so there's going to be enough workload. I don't like him in DFS, but I like him a little bit better than those guys.
Double cat. We didn't help you out at all there, so I guess pick your favorite OG and roll with that. Our boy Don Yeezy in the chat, so we appreciate him. Marcus Scott in the house. He wanted to know, Derek, did you play Jacoby Myers last week? And Derek said he was staying away, and Myers ends up scoring. So did you have him in any lineups, Derek, or what was it, a true – a fade, and that's what got the touchdown done?
No, I said I was going to fade him. I said I was getting my treatments for my Jacoby Myers problem, and they worked, and so I faded him. And obviously, as predicted, he scored his first touchdown.
All right, so hopefully you got somebody for us this week that you're fading that we can plug in. But Marcus Scott asked about Cooks. We talked about him earlier. I think we like the target share for sure, a team playing from behind. So I think we're kind of lukewarm. I'm Brandon Cooks. All right, let's get back to the games. One more game in the early window. We have the aforementioned Baltimore Ravens down to -4.5 here in Chicago, 45 on the total. We got news today. Lamar Jackson dealing with an injury, was sent home from an illness, was sent home from practice. Apparently it's not COVID related. So sounds like Lamar should be okay here after a day or two of rest. Chicago coming off a bye here. Justin Fields has looked much better here over the last few weeks. So, Chop, we'll stay with you. Do we trust Justin Fields? Any concern here with Lamar Jackson and this illness? Kind of a middling total here, some low team totals, and that spread dropping as well for Baltimore.
I tell you, Lamar, this is going to be one of the ones that we're going to look back on Sunday maybe and say we were on the wrong side because of this Lamar news. It depends on what he does, but assuming – he not only plays, but he feels halfway decent, which is a big factor right there. How bad you feel when you play, if you do play, it's tough. But like if he were to be out, this offense would go into the can. I mean, they're trying to give the ball to Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray and Le'Veon Bell every week. That's terrible. So Lamar is definitely the most valuable player to his offense of any quarterback in the NFL. So if he's not healthy, they're in trouble. If he is healthy, I still don't have a lot of love for this offense just because of what I said. They're trying to jam the ball with some old running backs, and they're just not really turning some of the other guys loose enough, in my opinion. And Chicago's not a bad defense to be playing at home against. So, yeah, I don't have a whole lot. I just don't have a whole lot of interest there, let's be honest. And for the Chicago side, nah. Justin Fields, I'd like to see how he does against this defense because they're going to present some things to him that he hasn't seen yet in the NFL. Maybe he's really good against a cover zero blitz and things like that. I don't know. Like Baltimore does some exotic things on defense. So if he can handle this, then we duly note it going forward. But until then, I'm not going to trust him. And he has not shown any ability to get the ball to Allen Robinson. Very little to Cole Kmet, nothing big, and a little bit to Mooney, but not enough for me to feel comfortable with. So, I'm out on that game. I'm out on Chicago DFS-wise, and I don't have much interest in Baltimore either. So with that being said, I'm going to take a stab in the dark on the under here.
All right, I'm on the other side of this one. I'm a little bit more optimistic here. I love Lamar in the spot. The Chicago defense has not been great against quarterbacks or receivers. In fact, over the last month, bottom five against both positions here. So I love the Lamar to Hollywood Brown.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you know. Too late. Enough. That pick is locked in. But they have been good against tight ends this season. So maybe Andrew struggles a little bit. That pushes more to Hollywood, to Bateman. So Lamar's illness to me just helps. It'll knock down the ownership a little bit, Derek. I'm very optimistic on him. As far as Chicago, I want to like Justin Fields here, but the question is, same thing Chop brought up, who do you pair him with? I think it's Darnell Mooney, who's had a couple games here recently that have been pretty solid. You also have David Montgomery back as the full-time running back, but all Baltimore for me here. I love Lamar paired with Brown, and I'm going to go over here. I think we get more points than are expected. So we got an over and under, Derek. So break the tie here. You going one way or the other in this game?
Yeah, I won't break the tie. I'll let you guys battle that out. I actually like Chicago to cover at home. Baltimore just let a lot of bad teams, you know, stay close, stay competitive this season. You have the Lamar, illness, whatever it may be. I'm not worried about that. I mean, you remember last year against the Browns when he was running to the locker room, coming back out with new pants on. And, that was pretty funny. But he still played well. So as long as he's out there, I think he's going to be fine. And you mentioned that the defense of the Bears has been struggling. The defense of the Ravens has been really struggling. They've lost a few pieces in their secondary early in the season. I think they're 24th in DVOA against the pass. So I don't mind looking at Justin Fields as like a punt. Over his last four games, he's had 43 rushing yards, 38, 103, and 45. So we're finally getting that rushing upside. You mentioned he's been throwing to Mooney a lot. I kind of like that as a lower owned stack. And yeah, I like the Lamar side too. So I would go with the over, but I'm going to take the Bears at home.
All right, Chicago at home for Derek. And we have our afternoon games to go, but wanted to update you guys on some of the happenings over at our OGs contest on FanDuel. Give a shout-out to some of the top performers from last week. We also have some more promotions for you guys, so stay tuned for that. But fifth place, we had Jay Sam's 4. 151.44 in that lineup. Diggs and Allen is a popular stack you're going to see a lot. Had those cheap running backs with Johnson and Ingram. So solid lineup there. Our boy, DB730, Dan Bach of RotoGrinders, coming in fourth place here in our Week 10 contest. So let's see what Dan ran out there. 152.74. Dak, two Lamb and Cooper. So the double stack there had Ramondre Stevenson, only 2.7% owned. Solid outing there. Also had Ernest Johnson. Colts defense gave him 14 points. So DB coming in top four. Congrats to him. Our Jimmy three, third place, 154. He had Tom Brady, who struggled a little bit. Brady to Evans. So despite that stack, had Dearness Johnson in this lineup as well. Stephon Diggs, Jonathan Taylor, the big game, and Mark Ingram. So congrats to Jimmy on his third place finish. Tuscaloosa Johnny, second place, rocking that RG logo, 154.24. He also had Allen to Diggs, the cheap running backs, and Johnson and Ingram. Jonathan Taylor survived some down games. Tried to double stack with Cole Beasley, only 2.5 there, but 23 from the Dallas defense at just 3.5% owned. And our winner also rocking the RG badge, Magic Man 2, 155.7. Also had the Allen and Diggs combo, D'Ernest Johnson in that lineup, Ezekiel Elliott, two touchdowns for him, and the aforementioned Jacoby Myers in that lineup finding the end zone. So congrats to Magic Man 2. So Chop, do we have the season-long leaderboard? Let's take a look there and see if we see any familiar faces. We got to check in on urinal cakes like we do each and every week. And we're going to update everybody on a new promotion we're going to be running out here for the rest, for this week at least. We'll see if it's going to be the rest of the year or not. But Chop, what are we seeing on that season-long leaderboard?
Yeah, 4794 still up top there. In first place, JMB Wingfan fell to fourth. Some other guys moved up there. Let me scroll down because that DB with that big week, I bet he moved up quite a bit. Let me look here. Urinal Cakes at 19. There you go.
All right.
He's doing it. DB 7. Come on now. He's got to be here. Notorious at 41. What? What's going on here, man? He's sneaking up on us, man.
Where are you guys?
Oh, DB's at 61. That's interesting. Notorious is 24. DB just took a top five, and Notorious is still. I think Notorious is sandbagging us a little bit. He's doing better than what he leads on here, man.
Well,
you're gonna be scrolling a while looking for us.
Yeah, so I know we're not.
We don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, I'm not about to flip through 10 pages on FanDuel to get to my. Literally, I think I was like bottom 10 last week. I had three lineups to choose from that I run on FanDuel, and I picked the nut worst one I had. So I was like 370th or something like that. I'm not anywhere in contention, but it looks like Notorious is up there, man.
Making a run, representing for us, Noto, so we love it. Yeah, it's been a rough go on FanDuel for sure. So we don't have time to scroll, but we do have time to. We're gonna add to the ante here. We're gonna ante up a little bit for you guys. So we appreciate the support, but we want to get this thing filled. Came up a little bit short last week, so make sure. I see the Dean 78904 there, Chop. I see you stopping on his name, but we want to up the ante here. So what we want to do. Moving forward, we'll see. We'll just start with 1 week and see how this goes, see how you guys respond to it. But we want to give out some NFL premium to the winners as well for this season and for next season, or combo premium. We're talking every single sport. If you are rocking that Roto Grinders badge and you take this thing down. So we'll roll this out for a week. We need to fill this tournament, though, so make sure you guys are getting your entries. And if you got buddies, you're in a season-long league, say, hey, come check this out. Give them the link. It's FanDuel.com/OG. Pass it around. Again, 500 spots. We want to get this thing full, but we are adding extra prizes on top of the extra prizes we already had. So, again, you take this thing down. We're talking NFL premium for this season. We'll have some prizes for next season's NFL package as well and combo premium packages for anyone that wins this thing with the Roto Grinders logo. So, we're filling this thing up. We may continue to roll that out each and every week. So we're going to try it a trial basis 1 week. But again, FanDuel.com/OG. Come join the tournament. See if you can pass me and Chop. Shouldn't take much to get that accomplished. And if you can catch DB and Notorious on that season-long leaderboard, it's not too late. Top 10 scores count. Single-entry tournament, $7 buy-in. $5,000 to the winner. 4794 remains on top, looking good. For that $5,000, but still anybody's ball game. So FanDuel.com/OG. Go and check it out today. All right, guys, let's get back to the games here. Actually, we got to update our bet here, our picks. We have a new leader, so I got to give him a shout out here. Chop making a move here late into the season. So Chop with 6 correct last week, sits on top at 57. Derek gave up the lead, stumbled a little bit last week, Derek, just 3-8, still sitting in second place at 56, and I'm down at 53, another 4 on the board for me, so not great. A couple 4s in a row here, Chop leading Derek by 1 and me by 4, so still a tight race. We'll see if Chop can separate here with his week 11 pick. So 3-game afternoon slate here in week 11. We'll start with Cincinnati and Las Vegas. Cincinnati now -1 here, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, 50 on the total, Chop. So Cincinnati coming off a bye. This looks like a very good spot for them. Vegas has struggled against running backs. So Mixon is one of my favorite running back plays of the week. Burrow to Chase to Higgins is in a good spot. My question is, what do we do on the Raiders side? Can we trust Carr? Can we trust Waller? Can we trust these receivers? The split backfield. A lot of questions on that Vegas side, Chop.
You know, I caught a lot of flack in my DMs when I called Darren Waller. You know, maybe a little bit overrated, but he's proven me right so far. He hasn't broken through and done anything since week one, really. I mean, it's just for the price tag, he's consistently like second or third highest price tight end up there with behind Kelsey and the flavor of the week, whoever that might be. Sometimes it's Kittle, sometimes it's Andrews, whatever. But he hadn't done it. And then, you know, you lost Henry Ruggs, and I think it really hurts the offense. And Josh Jacobs, I don't think he can be trusted right now. I don't know. Something doesn't look right with this offense. So I'm not on them in DFS. Cincinnati, I love targeting a team like this coming off a bye week to get those injuries healthy, and I think they're all going to be out there and amped up in this game and feeling good. I love Joe Mixon in this spot. Love Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Burrow's got plenty of weapons here, so I like them all. I'm not going to try to pin it down, but if I did, I'd say Joe Mixon is my favorite. just generally speaking, though, because of the bye week and the way the Raiders kind of look like they're hitting a wall to me, I'm taking Cincinnati here.
Yeah, I love the Bengals in the spot. Coming off the bye, now that's been good for some teams, bad for others, but you nailed it, Chop. Cincinnati or the Vegas Raiders started out hot. It's been a struggle here ever since. Just got throttled by the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think Cincinnati rolls here. I love Mixon. I've been so productive. And even without workhorse touches, sure, he's getting, you know, 17, 18, but there's room for more here. And this Vegas defense has struggled big time against the running back position. Bottom 10 in fantasy points allowed this season and over the last month. So, Derek, two Cincinnati picks, a lot of Cincinnati love in DFS. Can you give us anything from the Raiders side? We got some Waller in the chat from Josh Duck. We got some Hunter Renfro from our boy Don Yeezy. Are you trusting any of these Raiders here this week against the Bengals?
Yeah, I think it depends on how much exposure I end up having to Mixon and Jamar Chase. I think they're both very good options. And if I play them, I'll want to bring it back if I play both of them especially. So I'll have a little bit of Renfro, especially on a full PPR site like DraftKings. A little less appealing on FanDuel. And then Waller, I mean, you get the feeling he's going to break out. But like Todd mentioned, I mean, he just hasn't been great this season. So love the spot for Chase. And, you know, T. Higgins continues to rack up those air yards. And everyone on Twitter complains about it each and every week when they play him. And, you know, he just doesn't do much with them. You get the feeling he's going to have a big week as well. But, yeah, I like Mixon. I like Chase. And we're adding to the parlay card, so none of us are going to be making up ground on this one. Give me the Bengals.
All right, 3 for 3 on Cincinnati going on the parlay card. We will add that to our earlier pick was Tennessee, minus 10. So two picks on the card. We'll see if we add to that here with two games to go. Derek, we'll stay with you. Arizona in our next game, traveling to Seattle. Cardinals, minus 2.5, 48 on the total. Obviously, we're waiting to hear on Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins. It sounds optimistic on Kyler. It sounds about the best we've heard recently. So likely back in that lineup, but we'll see. We still got a few days to go. As for Seattle, question there on Chris Carson. I'm going to update some of the latest injuries we're getting as we record here momentarily. But, Derek, that Seattle offense just looked lost. Did they rush Russell Wilson back? Was it the Green Bay defense? First time he's ever been shut out as a starting quarterback. So do they bounce back here? Maybe people are avoiding this offense. Do you spot here to attack against this Cardinals defense?
This kind of reminds me of 2 weeks ago when the Niners kind of put up a dud against the Cardinals and then came back and, you know, trounced the Rams last week. This just kind of happens in some of these division games. I know Green Bay isn't in Seattle's division, but chance to bounce back at home. It's at least interesting. So I think their offense is fine. I'll have a few shares of Metcalf, a few shares of Lockett. Don't really feel the need to pair him up with Wilson. More of an interest in a one-off there for me. And still can't trust the running game. And then on the other side, yeah, James Conner, above 80% snap share last week, 81.8. A lot of people were talking about Eno Benjamin kind of cutting into that workload potentially, but we didn't really see it. So I don't mind going back to James Conner, especially if Kyler ends up being active. I think that's going to help the offense as a whole. And yeah, I don't have a strong take on the game. I guess I will take the over.
All right, I'm going to go under in this one. I do like James Conner a lot in the spot. I mean, the dude just scores touchdowns every week. Now, that's if Kyler's back, obviously a big boon to that offense. But I still think Conner going to get a ton of work there. I like correlating him with one of those receivers. Like you mentioned, Derek, don't necessarily need Russell Wilson in that lineup. But I'm going to go under on this game. I think Seattle's offense continue to struggle a little bit. I think Kyler may struggle a little bit coming back from injury. So it might be an uglier type game. So Conner for me, a Seattle receiver, but I'm going to go under. So Chop again, settle the tire. Do we get a shootout? We get an ugly game? Or you're hitting that spread? Another 2.5 for you to debate over here, Chop.
Yeah, I'm hitting the spread. I could see this game really going either way, like you said. I mean, Russell versus Kyler could be a shootout. But like you said, Beer, I've seen enough Seattle games to know that this could also be a 13-10 just snore fest. That's just the way Pete Carroll plays it sometimes. So I can't touch the total. I'll touch the spread here in a minute. But everything revolves around Kyler being in this game and being healthy. So he's going to make Arizona. Like, if you told me Kyler wasn't playing right now, I'm hammering Seattle. But, you know, we don't know. And I think Kyler does. You know, one loss. I think maybe if they win that game last week, you say, okay, we bought another week. Let's keep him out again and you know, get him 100%. But now you've lost. So now you don't have that luxury. So I think he comes back along with DeAndre. So, yeah, I'm a fan of the whole offense here. If he plays Kyler, Connor, and whichever receivers you want to pick. For Seattle, typically they're a little bit better at home. They're a lot better at home than they are on the road most of the time under Russell Wilson. So they got that going for them. I think Russell has a little bit of success here finding DK and or Tyler Lockett, one or the other. I'll pass on the running game, but there's some good components here to this game offensively. So I'm on those guys. But as far as picking the spread here, boy, I would hate to stick with an Arizona bet here and then have my hopes rest on Colt McCoy again, because that's waiting for disaster. But the spread's just so low, man. If Kyler plays, it's an easy Arizona for me. If he doesn't, it's an easy Seattle. I'm gonna go Seattle with their backs against the wall, being at home. If they don't start winning games, they're not gonna make the playoffs. Not that I think they are anyway, but they'll officially be eliminated pretty soon. So give me Russell, man, back home.
Yeah, they may think about shutting Russell Wilson down if this thing continues to swirl around the toilet. So I guess they're still in the hunt. So that graphic will start popping up here on all your local broadcasts. But Seattle for Chop. So we had Cade Smith in the chat. Can we ask questions here? Absolutely. That's what we're here for. So, Cade, get it in. We're wrapping up here pretty quickly here, just reaching an hour, so a little bit overtime here. We appreciate you guys for hanging out and checking out the podcast. Whether you've been here the whole time, you're new, we appreciate each and every one of you. So thank you for listening. Last game on the docket. Chop, we're going to go to you here. This one, obviously, the highlight of the slate here this week. We have your Dallas Cowboys traveling to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. A latest spread here. We got Kansas City -2.5, but that thing's heavily juiced at -118 on FanDuel. So it may push to -3, but we're going to leave it at 2.5 here for our betting purposes. That total now up to 56 in the FanDuel Sportsbook. So, Chop, you had to be pleased last week. Cowboys with a no-brainer, do most of the damage in the first half against Atlanta. A strong game from Dak. CeeDee Lamb, before he left the game, was on pace for a huge game. And Ezekiel Elliott, 2 touchdowns. So, seemingly everybody got there on the Dallas side. We also saw the Chiefs really snap back and put a big performance on the board against the Raiders. 2 touchdowns for Tyreek Hill. Big game for Darrell Williams. As far as injuries, CEH doesn't sound like he's going to be back. I know there was some talk he could return. They may hold him out until after their bye, so we may not see him till week 13. So, Chop, obviously, this game, you can name almost anybody and say they're in play. This is the game everybody's going to stack left, right, every which way. How do we get different? There's always the question I want to know here with this game. So should be some fireworks. What do you got here, Chop? How do we get different, Dallas and Kansas City?
Yeah, how do we get different? Great question. I don't know, because they are all in play. And typically, you know, there's a bunch of big names here that you want to go to, and doing anything too off the script is probably going to cost you money. Like, so I don't know, man. It's tough. They're all in play. It's clearly the best game stack of the day, but it'll be the most popular game stack of the day. How do I get different? Maybe you go Dalton Schultz instead of CeeDee Lamb as your Dak Prescott pairing or something. Maybe even, and I don't even like this guy when everybody's healthy, but maybe you go Michael Gallup instead of Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb, something like that. So that's the only way you're going to get different, because this is going to be a popular game. On the flip side, I mean, yeah, everybody knows if you want to stack KC, you do Mahomes, and you either double stack him with Hill and Kelsey, or you with just Hill or just with Kelsey. That's the way, you know, like the other guys just aren't really typically don't do very Pringle and Hardman. They just rarely like really get there. So maybe instead of that passing stack, maybe you go Darrell Williams with no CEH back, something like that. But they're all in play, so I can't really definitively say that. Now, as far as this spread or total, I'll say this much. I don't trust the Dallas defense. I think they're okay. But if KC truly is back, and I don't know if they're back or not, or if they ever really left, I don't know. But this is going to be a tough matchup because Tyreek, and you don't want to shadow him with anybody, much less Trayvon Diggs, who, you know, who's been good, but this is not a good matchup to be shadowing Tyreek Hill, man. And so there's a lot of holes there. I think KC can score, but I absolutely know 100%, unless there's some weather issues or something like that, there's no way KC is stopping Dallas. There's just no way, no chance. You can take that one to the, you can take that Dallas team total to the bank. All right. So that's easy money. So can't pick a spread. So just give me the over here.
Take it to the bank, he says. Famous last words. I like it, Chop. A lot of conviction in that. I'm actually going to go on the other side. I'm going to go under on this game. And I think the way to be different in DFS, as dangerous as it may be, is to be underweight on this game. There's so many good plays here. Everyone, again, is going to be all over this game. And it's scary, no doubt. I mean, I can name 10 guys that get there, that break the slate on this game. But I'm going to probably be underweight on this one. I don't know that we get the shootout a lot of people are expecting. So that's the way I'm going to be a little bit different on it. Again, a lot of pieces I like in this game. You could say Amari Cooper as a way to get different, who had a down game. I like the Dalton Schultz call. I could go to the other side and say Darrell Williams maybe is their forgotten man. So I'm not going to fade it completely, but the stacking-wise, Derek, I just don't know how you're going to stack this. It's going to be any different than anybody else. So I'm going to say under on it. I'm going to be underweight on it in DFS, as crazy as it may seem. That's the early outlook here. So, Derek, where do you come out? We got an over bet with Chop, an under with me. Are you in the middle? Are you taking one side here? Finish us up here for week 11, Dallas and Kansas City.
Yeah, you guys both made good points. I don't think I can be underweight on this game. I just think it has too much potential from a DFS perspective. I think the way to get different is Darrell Williams. I mean, he played great last week. He made that great catch in the end zone as well. And if CEH is out, he's going to be the guy. He's playing 60%+ of the snaps. He's looked good while he's out there. He's getting the goal line work as well. So I like him as kind of a differentiation play. And people are still down on Travis Kelce. I know he topped 100 yards last week, but I think he's another way to get a little bit of contrarian exposure to the Chiefs. Perhaps you just, you know, fade Tyreek and then go with the Mahomes, Williams, Kelce stack. I think that'll be contrarian at least a little bit. Everyone's in play on Dallas. I love the spot for their offense. Dak's going to be my favorite quarterback play of the week. Pair him up with whoever you want. Zeke's is fine as well. And my pick is going to be, oh man, I love both of these teams, but I'll just take the home team since it's not 3 points. So give me KC. And, the chat, they're talking about some season long. So, Chad, we need an update.
Yep, Chop. We'll get to the question here from Cade Smith in a minute, but we're 10 weeks in. So I believe we were 7-2 last week. Did we push that to 8-2 here, Chop?
We did.
Nice. Well done. All right. How's the matchup looking for this week?
Haven't looked yet.
He hasn't even looked. That's the beauty of the OGs. It's always our first look at the slate to kind of digging into things. A lot of stuff going on, obviously, NBA, golf, yada yada. So as far as Cade Smith's question, he wants to know, should he trade Darrell Williams and Christian Kirk for DK Metcalf? I'm smashing accept on that thing. I mean, Kansas City has a bye, I believe, next week. CEH gonna be back, so I do think Williams has earned a role, but DK Metcalf is too good here. That's an easy trade for me. You guys got any quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, you give me DK all day in that scenario.
Yep. Derek?
Yep. Accept instantly.
Yeah. So hopefully you already hit accept on that, Kate. I just wanted to update some injuries real quick here while we have them. I know it's going long on the pod, but no practice for James Robinson on Wednesday. Same for Curtis Samuel. Elijah Mitchell not practicing today, but expected to play. We had Dallas Goedert, also questionable. And then Cole Beasley, no practice Wednesday. Chris Carson, no practice Wednesday. And Alvin Kamara returned to practice on Wednesday, but no Taysom Hill. So those are the latest updates as we record the show. But guys, thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate it. Last time I'm going to mention this, but please, let's fill this thing up. So tell some people. Tell your season-long buddies. Tell whoever it is. FanDuel.com/OG. We're adding premium to the prize pool as well. Make sure you're rocking that RotoGrinders logo as your avatar there in this contest. But a fun contest. And we'll highlight some of the winners each and every week and keep looking at that season-long leaderboard as we get closer to somebody taking down $5,000 additional dollars in this tournament. So we love the setup of this thing. We worked hard to get this thing set up. If you guys enjoy the show, you enjoy what we do, you enjoy FanDuel, whatever it may be, enter that contest at FanDuel.com/OG. So, guys, final thoughts for the people here. A little bit long on the pod. We had a lot to cover today. The chat was great, as always, so appreciate your involvement and your questions. So, Derek, we'll go to you. Final thoughts, Week 11.
Yeah, as always, thanks for joining us. Join the OG contest if you can. We'd appreciate it. I'm ready for the snow to start falling here. I'm ready for some, you know, bright snow out here, and then ready for Thanksgiving. You know, we'll get our, you know, hot turkey takes next week. But thanks for joining us. Good luck, everybody. And let's have some OGs in the top 20, at least in the OG contest.
All right. We'll see if we can dig out a performance here, Chop. One of us got to get up there with Derek and represent the show here. Chop, final thoughts for the people. Week 11. What do you got?
Yeah. Good luck. And one last prize I'm going to throw on top of the OGs. If the whole thing fills, I mean, at maximum capacity, the whole thing fills, the winner will get a special FaceTime with Beer, and he's going to take you through some some tips on making turkey this just for your Thanksgiving dinner. So it's extra, is a little extra juice on there for you guys. So get in there, man. Fill that thing, but only if it fills.
There you go. And I'm a big fellas. You know, I can eat. There's going to be some food going down for sure. But, yeah, I mean, let's fill this thing for real, guys. We appreciate it. FanDuel.com/OG. So thank you so much for listening. For Notorious, for Head Chopper, I am Beer, saying salut. We are the DFS OGs. Good luck this week, and we'll see you next week.